saving money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
When I hear good things, I like to point them out. They happen to be coming from Marjorie Taylor Greene's mouth right now.
I think that she and John Fetterman have just horseshoed and replaced each other.
Did like a Freaky Friday.
They did a way too Freaky Friday.
Hey, everybody. I'm Tim Miller.
And I'm Cam Caskey. We've got a crazy show for you this week. We're going to talk about Barron Trump getting put up for a top position at TikTok, everybody's least favorite Zoomer, maybe. And we're going to talk about Vivek Ramaswamy.
Speak for yourself.
We're going to talk about
a competitive category.
Vivek Ramaswamy facing some racism, shockingly, at the Turning Point USA event. But first, guys, I'm finally going to be in the same location repeatedly now. I'm not going to be doing FYPod from different rooms every single week. I have an apartment. This is a Polaroid of me and Tim that I like to look at. This is my ticket to the State of the Union in 2019, where I went with Eric Swalwell. Oh, remember that picture that Obama signed and sent to me that I said I lost?
Yeah.
Found it.
Oh, wow. And let's see. Can we see it? I can't see it back there.
And then this is, just before we do that, this is the cast of Frasier. And I got it on eBay. And it's autographed, but I feel like it can't be authentic because I got it way too cheap. Or maybe people just don't like Frasier anymore.
I think maybe because you kind of identify as a Niles.
I am a Niles, yes. Sherry Niles. So this is my brother Julian and I. Obama said, Cameron, I'm so proud of what you are doing. Signed, Barack Obama.
That's nice. Come on the show, Barack Obama. Been asking. You know, been inviting you to. If you're really that proud of Cameron, you'd think you'd want to support his endeavors more and come on the podcast.
Come on, we'd be happy to have you. So before we get into Barron running TikTok, I want to see what the expert analysts over at Fox News have to say about the matter. Let's take a look.
Barron Trump brought a girl home. He brought her back to Trump Tower. He shut the whole floor down at Trump Tower just so he could be alone. One of his classmates said this: he's tall and awkward, but he was the thing. The guy. He had a lot of girls running after him. Another said he's a ladies' man for sure. He's really popular with the ladies. He's tall and handsome. A lot of people seem to think he's pretty attractive. So imagine a guy brings you back to Trump Tower and the whole floor is shut down.
If the guy's a Trump, then I would believe it. And I know a lot of people are probably going to want to criticize him that he's being a prima donna, no pun intended there. But he obviously did for security reasons. The security needed to sweep the floor. They shut down the floor. But man, this guy's got game. I mean, 6'7" and he's got a whole floor at Trump Tower for a freaking date. I hope something good came out of that date. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say what.
Something not too
like
good.
Dessert.
Not too
just
good.
Really
that,
good
he needs to wait.
Homemade dessert.
Okay.
Their private chef.
The Trump cookie.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's like a fucking drag queen reads a bunch of books to 8-year-olds at the local library, and they're a groomer. And then Fox News is like, we hope Barron Trump, who's 6'7" and sexy, we hope he lays pipe tonight. And
hope he's playing Ookie Cookie back at Trump Tower.
God, I forgot about Ookie Cookie. Jesus Christ. Listen, there's some people in our comments who get annoyed with how often we talk about sex stuff on FYPod.
Are there?
Yeah, dude. There's people who are like, you know, they talk about this quite a bit. Let me tell you guys something. We're talking about Zoomer stuff. Zoomers need to start hooking up again. It's an important topic. It's good for the fabric of our society. And if you want to live in a fairy tale land where nobody kisses each other and everybody's just prim and proper, go to fucking Midas Touch, okay? This is Bulwark. We talk about
the Daily Wire. I mean, there are plenty of places for, you know,
Puritans.
People that are Yeah, for Puritans, anti-sexualists.
You could go to fucking Plymouth Rock for all we care, but this is FY Pod. We get down and dirty. I want to transition into a very, very strange thing, which is right after Barry Weiss got put in charge of CBS, where there was another weird sexual comment involving virgins, where there was an article on the Free Press. I don't know if you saw this about the AI Hollywood actress, Tilly Northwood. We'll throw a picture of her up right here. And they said, if you want to watch a virgin, here's a virgin you all can watch. And it's like this AI, like girl who's supposed to look like 18 or something.
Yeah, I did see that. That was Tyler Cohen, who I usually like on economic matters. We depart ways oftentimes on cultural matters. But weird comment, weird thing to post. That's why you want to have an editor usually on a site. Sometimes you have an old man that is writing for your outlet and says something a little yucky about how he's thinking about how he wants to see virgins on his screen. And you'd hope you'd have an editor there over at the Daily Wire, which I think was supposed to be Barry Weiss's job ostensibly, to just kind of protect your writers from things like that. So, you know what, maybe this is a cross through.
The Tilly Northwood virgin, I actually don't want to call this fucking 01100 line of code Tilly Northwood. I don't want to give a name to this fucking computer program that sucks water up from the ground. No, this fucking robot, it brings to mind what
Clanker.
I think.
We're doing people, Clanker.
Clanker, I forgot about that. Which is the slur, for those of you who don't know, for robot. This line of code brings to mind, and the article about it brings to mind what I say when people talk to me about Taylor Swift in public, which is like, you don't actually need to have a take on everything. So when you're thinking about talking about the potential virginity of a computer program that's supposed to look like an actress, maybe just don't say anything. Like, you don't have to write an article. Nobody needs to hear what you have to say about this.
Certainly that was the case in this situation. I feel like we sped run through the main topic of the day, though, which is Barron Trump becoming...
Oh, no. I was about to say. So Barry Weiss got this top job at CBS. Speaking of people who are unqualified for top jobs.
Oh, fuck. I ruined your transition, Cameron. I apologize. We've been doing our best. People on Reddit have noticed that your skills at running a show and doing an interview have improved. And I agree with that. And that's not a criticism. It takes reps. And, you know, so sometimes when we're doing the show, I've tried to just kind of nudge you, you know, from time to time, like making sure we're staying on course, like a good older brother. And I tried to do that there, and that was a fail, a total backfire, because you had a great transition planned already.
You faced the results of your own actions. I learned this shit from you, you know what I'm saying? Yes. But anyway, Trump's former social media manager, Jack Advent, proposed Barron Trump getting a top role at TikTok as it comes into U.S. ownership, arguing that the younger Trump's appointment could broaden TikTok's appeal among young users. However, it is not known if his suggestion will come to fruition. This all comes from TikTok being Ellisonified. It's part of Oracle now. I think the Murdochs are in on it. This is because of a bipartisan mandate passed by Congress during President Joe Biden's presidency, which required TikTok's China-based parent, ByteDance, to divest its American assets to avoid a nationwide ban. So now we've Americanized TikTok. Barron being in charge of TikTok, Tim, I feel like that's like a joke we would have said about Trump gaining control over TikTok. It's like, oh, they're going to put Barron in charge.
I mean, I've used that joke about Barron several times in different contexts, you know, about, you know, Trump's aspiring monarchy. And here it is coming to fruition much quicker than I could have imagined. And he hasn't actually gotten anything yet, we should say. The suggestion was that Barron get a board seat, which is preposterous in its own right. And, kind of in, I guess, Trumpian spirit of nepotism and somebody who has no skills or no ability being able to just become granted a job based on vibes and marketing. But I guess that's less bad than like actually being in charge of there. My sense for people that are on the boards of these companies that they don't actually do anything. They get to go to meetings and get a paycheck and, you know, get to be in the box when TikTok purchases the Milwaukee Brewers stadium or whatever, you get a box seat when that happens. But
it's probably a little more expensive now that we're going to the National League Championship.
Maybe a little more expensive. So anyway, it is ridiculous. And I think that it is, though, My serious observation about it is twofold. Number one, the takeover of TikTok by the American right is about the most concerning thing out here. And I was with Sam and Sarah when we were in Canada. Shout out Canada. And Sam listed like the 10 news items that had happened recently and asked what the most concerning was to us. And both Sarah and I picked the TikTok purchase over, you know, the Comey indictment, a lot of other various things that seem very serious and acute now, because just the long-term concern about these guys purchasing this with the intent to use it to propagandize people. Maybe they'll be too incompetent to figure it out. Maybe the notion that Barron Trump should be involved should give us a little hope on that front. But it's extremely alarming. And the speed at which the right and the MAGA right really has taken over like major social media and media outlets is extremely hungry-esque.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
I had dinner with the former ambassador to Hungary last week, and we talked about this at length. It's very reminiscent of what Orban
really?
Did in Hungary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Why did I have the dinner with the ambassador to Hungary, former ambassador?
I don't know. It feels kind of random.
He's homosexual, so you know, okay. Gay mafia. No. Shout out.
I got it. Got it.
But also too, I do feel like there's some lessons we can learn from somebody who spent a lot of time in Hungary and he might be coming on this channel soon. So keep an eye out for that. So anyway, the TikTok concern is my one serious concern. And the other thing is just like the hackishness and unseriousness of these guys. Like they have no bench. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's no talent. Like if you want to have a big job somewhere and you're 23 right now, probably the best thing for you to do is just pretend like you're MAGA. And like start like shit posting because
oh my god,
it's
dude,
truly.
Could you imagine how much fucking money I would make if I went like, oh, you know, I was part of the left, and then I went to the Gaza protests and I saw how anti-Semitic the left became. So now I'm part of the right, and I just regurgitated all the basic talking points.
I mean, you could have your own floor in Trump Tower by like
you need
by
no
next year.
No sauce, no charisma. No intellectual abilities. Like if you just say the right things, I want to cut to a video real quick of a kid that I had like a faux debate with on News Nation, who's currently being propped up by MAGA, getting invited to the White House. Let's see his delivery style.
Hey everybody, Jackson Gosnell here in Phoenix, Arizona at Remembering Charlie Kirk. This is the memorial, of course, after that horrific assassination on Charlie Kirk's life. And we're expecting to hear from a lot of people this morning, including President Trump, Vice President Vance, many cabinet members as well.
Yeah, you don't need to be good at this if you're doing MAGA. You just need to say the right things in the right order. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But I just kind of want to bring up two major things. You gave your two concerns. I'm going to give mine. Number one, Barron Trump is 6'7" and Slovenian and seemingly kind of antisocial. Put Nick a fucking Chan. Basketball in this kid's hand. Like you look at what Jokic has been able to do with that towering height and with his, you know, kind of lack of desire to really talk publicly about certain things.
Jokic has stronger features though.
For now, like that kid can afford a personal trainer. I'm just saying, that's like, true. If you're going to be the son of a fucking despot and you're not going to publicly stand against him and lead the anti-Trump movement as you should, go play basketball. Don't fucking run TikTok. But my second thing here is this kind of sent me down a rabbit hole because I feel like we've talked a good amount. I mean, Bulwark has. I don't know if we've covered it too much on this show, but we've talked a good amount about Trump's crypto corruption and how one of Trump's biggest scams compared to how much coverage it's gotten has been the amount of fraud and evil shit he's doing using crypto funds and shit coins and everything. I didn't really realize how involved Barron was with this and how much coin Barron has been able to make off of Trump crypto ventures. But I learned this 19-year-old boy is also one of the ambassadors to World Liberty Financial, which is the Trump family's crypto venture. Forbes estimated that the venture has boosted the Trump family fortune by more than $1.5 billion, with Barron's share alone worth around $150 million. So He doesn't need to shut down a floor of Trump Tower for Jesse Waters to talk about him laying pipe. Like, this guy's got $150 million in untraceable crypto money. He's like a cartel.
That is so insane. I mean,
but that's just the unlocked coins.
It's like hard to like wrap your head around the scale of this scam. And just looking at, like, it's almost silly to compare it to Hunter Biden and his like poop art or whatever, and like how much outrage there was over that and like Fox News. But like, this dude has 150 million. Like, who gave money to World Liberty Financial? Well, for starters, we don't really know everybody, but we know some of the people. There's one guy that I like to bring up from time to time, Justin Sun, who's a Chinese national. He put in, I think, 75 million. For World Liberty Financial tokens initially. He had already been under investigation by the SEC, and he's been let off the hook by the Trump administration. So, like, we have a literal bribe from someone from China.
I thought we were finally going hard on China. I thought we were finally standing up to China.
You would think so. I mean, you would think that, like, you would not want, even if there is no geopolitical, because we don't know, but even if there's nothing there, even if he's not, you know, an operative, which I have no reason to believe he is, it's like you would just think in general that you want to make rules and laws that would prevent the president of the United States and his family from being able to take bribes from Chinese criminals. And that is not the case here. And these bribes have been so successful with these fucking tokens that now, I guess, Barron Trump is liquid to the tune of 150 million already.
Well, crazy. There were Democrats. I think there was like over 20 Democrats who voted through a Trump crypto bill.
Yeah.
That in part, you know, is working to prevent this type of corruption and these scams from happening. But the thing is, like, crypto being untraceable is kind of a really bad thing. I'm sorry to the fucking libertarians watching this who If you ever want to learn what a libertarian is all about, start talking about age of consent laws, by the way. They'll show you their true colors. But like, the untraceable elements here, this is how fucking cartels and terror organizations are able to move this kind of money around. And it again, it's like, who's Trump getting money from? Hypothetically, not, you know, I'm not making any accusations here, but hypothetically, if, for example, Qatar wanted to give Trump money. Qatar is this country that finances Hamas, among other things. If they wanted to give him a bunch of money to, I don't know, open an Air Force base on United States soil, they could fucking do it. And obviously Qatar is happy to bribe Trump with jets in public. But the stuff with this crypto thing is just such a mess. And I learned a new thing today, which is the difference between unlocked and locked coins. Okay. And it's very important as it pertains to Barron, because Barron's worth, according to Forbes, around 150 million in unlocked coins. But if you factor in the locked coins, that can amount to over $500 million, $525 million. So I was trying to figure out what that was. I didn't have enough time to text Scott Galloway's plucky sidekick, Ed Elson. I did some research. Locked coins are a portion of a crypto project's total supply that are inaccessible to their holders, such as development team, early investors, and advisors, for a set duration. This is for price stability, long-term alignment, and planned distribution. Unlocked coins are the liquid, baby. They're the current circulating supply of a cryptocurrency. They can be freely bought, sold, and traded on exchanges by anyone in the market. So yes, Barron's worth apparently like $150 million in Trump fraud, scam, crypto money. But again, once those locked coins get unlocked, this dude's worth over half a bill. So I'm done being nice about Barron. You know, I think there's some people who like to infantilize Barron and Melania, and they like to act like Barron and Melania.
Oh, Melania is the worst. Melania is one of the worst people in the country. Yeah. I hate the, oh, Melania, save Melania. I hate all of that stuff you get on some kind of, sometimes resistance lefties are like, you know, Melania, you can see it in her eyes that she wants out of there. It's like, no, Melania is fully on board with the authoritarian project.
Yeah, that doesn't mean she's in love with Donald Trump. That doesn't mean she and Donald Trump go to bed next to each other at night and serenade one another. But she's in this for the fucking grift. And she's very good at it. And she has more agency than some people give her credit for. But we are making an official announcement on the FY Pod. We talk about Gen Z issues. This is a Gen Z issue. Barron Trump, first of all, come on the show. You know, if you're so confident, if you're such a baller, dude, come on FY Pod, talk to us. We're willing to hear you out. We'll ask you fair questions. But second of all, Barron Trump is no longer first term Barron, who's like a little kid doesn't know any better. Barron's an adult now. Okay. He's in college. And if kids in college can get fucking zip tied by cops, kids in college can be fucking held accountable for rolling along with their parents' schemes. So no more Mr. Nice talking about Barron. Okay. This kid is part of a fucking scam and he is part of his father's authoritarian project. And we get to talk about it. Barron,
we do.
We're going to hold you accountable.
Couple quick notes. Oh, just two really quick things. One, Mr. Pete Hegseth, the weekend Fox and Friends co-host is running our military, was trying to walk back what exactly role Cutter was going to have in the base in Idaho. So we'll see how that turns out. I just felt like that was worth mentioning. The other thing I felt like was worth mentioning while we're talking about the crypto scam running by the administration, there was one Republican. We like to do positive reinforcement for Republicans who do well, who called out Trump for doing favors for his crypto donors recently. And that was Marjorie Taylor Greene on your man Tim Dillon's podcast. Shout out Marjorie Taylor Greene. All right, go ahead. That was
okay. Do not mistake our hate for corruption with any love for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay.
When I hear good things, I like to point them out. They happen to be coming from Marjorie Taylor Greene's mouth right now. It's not, I don't like it any more than you do, but it's worth mentioning.
I think that she and John Fetterman have just horseshoed and replaced each other.
Did like a Freaky Friday.
They did a way too Freaky Friday. And MAGA has kind of taken John Fetterman, who at first people were saying was just right wing because of how radically pro-Israel he was. But now it just seems like he's right wing on everything. He was saying that Trump blowing up boats in the Caribbean was actually a good thing, and that he was going to support Donald Trump getting the Nobel Prize and shit like that. It's like he's really just gone nuts. He's yelling at school boards in meetings with them. He's getting accused by staffers of screaming like, "Why doesn't anybody like me?" And it's like, bro,
it's tough.
Get your fucking shit together. You're so cooked. But anyway. Speaking of people who need to get their shit together, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Vivek.
Vivek?
I mean, you correct me on Zoran last week, and I didn't look at the comments. Where did people roll? How did that fall on Zoran versus Zoran? Vivek. I followed Vivek's campaign. I was reporting on him and followed him around a couple stops in Iowa, and I got to know Vivek a little better than I wish I would have. So it's pronounced Vivek.
For those of you who don't know, Vivek Ramaswamy ran for president in the 2023 Republican primary. And for those of you who don't know, in 2023, there was a Republican primary that included several debates to which Donald Trump did not show up because he did not have to. This was Ron DeSantis. This was Doug Burgum. This was
Tulsi did not run. No, Nikki Haley was in Nikki there Haley. For a little while. Chris Christie, the big boy, was in there for a bit. Yeah.
So those debates were really interesting, and everybody just kind of knew Trump was going to come in and steamroll everybody. And Vivek was one of the people in the Republican primary who was all about Trump, super pro-Trump and everything. And he would just regularly have to answer the question, if you love Trump so much, why are you running? And his thing that he kind of jumped to every time was something that a bunch of Zoomer candidates are doing. Matt Post, who we just had on the show, is better than this. He didn't pull this bullshit. But there's some Zoomer candidates like this kid, Liam Elkind, who's running in New York, whose whole thing is, I'm the next generation. I'm young. I'm the next generation. I'm young. And it's like, okay, shut the fuck up. What are your policies? And that was Vivek. Vivek was like, Donald Trump is the greatest president we've ever had, and I know he's running again, but you should vote for me because Donald Trump should pass the torch to the next generation. But
this fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Now he's running for governor in Ohio. This is after he got, I think, kicked out of Doge. People forget that Vivek was...
He was the co-captain of Doge for a little while.
He was the co-chief, I think, like right when it got announced. And then immediately they were like, no. Yeah. And I imagine Elon, who I feel like we don't talk about anymore ever, Elon Musk, who has accused Donald Trump of being in the Epstein files and then was seen being very friendly with him at Charlie Kirk's funeral. I imagine he was just like, okay, I don't want to deal with this Vivek guy. Like, I know that Trump, you want to reward your allies and your friends, but I'm not fucking doing this. He's running for governor in Ohio, and I want to show you all a little peek into what Vivek and how he launched.
We require a leader here at home who will revive our conviction in Ohio. And that is why today I am honored to announce that I am running to be the next governor of a great state at the heart of the greatest nation known to mankind, the state where I was born and raised. The state where Apoorva and I raise our two sons today. A state whose best days are still ahead. I am honored to announce my candidacy to serve as the next governor of the state of Ohio.
I don't like his haircut very much. And I would like to see the long form birth certificate. And I do think that Ohio can do better than Vivek are my initial reactions. And I hope that our Ohio listeners can do their best to try to rally around someone better than Vivek.
Vivek has been facing the consequences of his own political party. After Charlie Kirk's assassination, there was a slew of Republicans who announced that they were going to be completing Charlie Kirk's tour, the Turning Point campus tour.
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk was on when he was murdered. The different Republicans have stepped in at different stops. Yep. We'll throw the schedule up on screen right now. I don't really remember who it was, but one of them was Vivek, and a video came out of him basically figuring out something that we probably could have told him, which is if you are a brown person who is not a Christian running for office as a Republican, the base might not love you as much as you're expecting. This is what I say about the potential J.D. Vance candidacy in 2028. Like,
is J.D. a non-Christian brown person?
No, but there's so many fucking like racist people at the core of this base. And this man has brown children and a brown wife. And a lot of people in MAGA can excuse that while he's being propped up by Trump as Trump's guy. But come 2028, obviously he doesn't have the sauce. Obviously he doesn't have the charisma and the energy and things like that. But also like the Nick Fuentes right, which you're gonna need if you're gonna be a successful Republican in 2020, you're gonna need those racists. They're not gonna put up with this. Let's take a look at what Vivek saw when he went to go continue Charlie Kirk's legacy.
Jesus Christ is God, and there is no other God. He is part of the Holy Trinity, and any other God is a demon, and it's false. How can you represent the constituents of Ohio who are...
Okay, well, if he's saying that the other gods are demons, doesn't that kind of mean that he's like acknowledging that they exist? You can't be a demon if you don't... Never mind, keep going.
I was just going to say, maybe I think he thinks that it's sort of like saying Vivek's a Satanist, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like this kid probably can't even name any Hindu gods, whether that's Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the preserver, Shiva, the destroyer, Ganesh, the one with the elephant head. Let's keep going.
Coming from a different culture, different religion than those who founded this country, those who grew this country, built this country, made this country the beautiful thing that it is today. What are you conserving? You are bringing change. I'll be 100% honest with you. Christianity is the one truth.
Christian voices should be the main voice of America. And I want to know basically why you seem to be, and I don't mean to be horribly offensive, but why you seem to be masquerading as a Christian.
You familiar with the Ten Commandments?
You call yourself a Hindu, but you also call yourself Christian.
I don't call myself Christian. I call myself a Hindu. I'm not running to be pastor of Ohio. I'm running to be governor of Ohio, and I didn't run to be pastor of America. I ran to be president of the United States of America. What's your faith?
I'm a Christian, follower of Jesus.
Great. Do you believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
I think a lot of people here do. So
good. And that doesn't make you a polytheist, does it?
Probably not. No.
Great. And so, in my faith, I believe there's one true God. He resides in all of us, and he appears in different forms, but it's one true God. So I'm an ethical monotheist.
An ethical monogamous?
That's the way I would describe my faith. Do you think it's inappropriate for someone who's a Hindu to be, say, a U.S. president?
No, I think it's... No, well...
You be honest.
Isn't Hinduism...
Because you're an Indian.
I can ask yourself that. Hinduism believes in Shiva and...
I got like three more than he did.
God, I forget.
Right, Krishna, who's you thinking of?
Yeah, Krishna. But isn't Charlie Kirk's organization founded on Christian values as well? And isn't the United States of America also, you know, based on what Protestantism is, based on how those values are, wouldn't that contradict what your beliefs are?
Like I said, I'm not here to justify my faith to you any more than you are to me, but what I do share is the value set this country was founded on. And I think that it's really important that we not reinvent the founding of this country and what it was actually all about.
Welcome to the Republican Party, Vivek Ramaswamy. Like, that's how things are now. Like, there's no room for someone who is trying to, like, be a diverse voice. They've said no. They've said that's not going
to
happen.
There is some truth to that at the younger level. It's weird that we have, like, kind of reversed what was sort of the common conventional wisdom for a long time, which is that, like, each younger generation is, like, more accepting in some ways than the last. It's not like they don't have any racism or sexism or homophobia in the younger generations, but that, you know, that there was progress. There was an arc of progress, if you will. And that is, like, totally been inverse now in Republican activist politics. Like, Vivek is would probably be fine and could maybe still win an Ohio primary right now. I think he probably still could, because you would win on the back of boomers whose, like, brains have been fried by Fox. And, like, say what you want about Fox, but it's not really doing, like, there's a little bit of Christian nationalism stuff here and there, but it's not really doing, like, any Nick Fuentes style, you know, racial and white and Christian identity politics overtly, right? Like, there's some of it in the subtext of Fox. A lot of times, you have a guest who does it, but, like, Fox is big, like, corporate right wing MAGA establishment.
I mean, this is turning point. And Charlie Kirk said, like, on a hot mic, that black women do not have the brain power to be judges.
Yeah, and he's talking about those. He was like, he listed the four black women, but yeah, and Charlie Kirk would say, and this is, I guess, my point. I've been to all the TPUSA rallies, and I've spent a lot of time watching Fox. I understand the difference. Like, Charlie Kirk was overtly about America being a Christian nation and wanting to promote Christianity, and there would be, like, religious revivals that would be tied to his events. And my point is that, like, there is the previous generation of Republicans. Like, they kind of liked having token people from other religions and races, right? Like, there was a desire for that. And so I feel like Vivek could still be okay on the backs of, like, old boomers who have Fox brain, who are just happy that he's out there, like, saying whatever the MAGA talking points are.
And he does have the Trump stamp. Like, he does.
Yeah, he has the Trump stamp. Yeah. So, and that's kind of all you need. Like, the problem is, like, the trajectory we're on. Like, to me, what this tells me more about is the concerning trajectory of the right, less than, like, that Vivek is not politically viable in the moment, because, you know, 19-year-old racists are not going to be really the key men in Ohio governor primaries, probably, but they are going to be very influential in as leaders of right-wing political organizations in the coming years. Does that make sense?
Yes, I see that. I don't know the voter demographics of Ohio too well, but I do feel you. Before we go, I have two quick things. Number one, was that what you saw when you're talking about the younger people in the Republican Party being more accepting? Was that how you saw the gay stuff when you were working with the Republicans? Like, were the younger Republicans chiller about that?
I mean, again, yeah, I just think this is very relevant to the topic of the show. Like, millennial young Republicans, like, we're speaking in broad strokes here, obviously, right? There were obviously evangelical millennials that were very anti-gay. I certainly dealt with homophobia among my peers in Republican politics, no doubt. But, like, your median Republican staffer who is 22 in 2005.
Your median political staffer, period, is gay. So
yeah, right. But I was going to say, they were like, they fit, like, the cliche. I am fiscally conservative, socially liberal, and strong on national defense. Like, that, and, like, they'd have a blue blazer on and khakis. Like, that was, like, your median Republican staffer in 2005, right? And so, you know, and they probably wouldn't have what you'd consider progressive social values now, but they're generally chill about gay stuff and, like, you know, not culture warriors in any meaningful sense. That has totally changed now. Like, your median 24-year-old staffer on the campaigns now is MAGA culture war TPUSA built, like, trad and very, you know, and maybe weak on, like wants us to not get involved in wars, you know, wants non-interventionism. They're America first. They're anti-trans big time, maybe a little anti-gay too, you know, like, and so that shift I think is very, very clear. And I think, I guess I'm just saying, if Vivek had come to speak to a college Republican event in 2005, would there have been a racist dude or two there? Yes. Would there have been 20? Like, would it have been the whole room? Like, no, you know, and that is just like a real shift that's happened among young Republicans.
That's a great point. I'm glad I asked that question.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
I guess my last thing for the day is I saw someone on the Reddit. I'd put up a request for submissions for like a podcast 1 or 2 weeks ago, and I got a really late comment, but I wanted to ask this question because it was put so nicely. Sorry for the late comment. I'm a queer woman in college, and my entire friend group is women and queer men. I really love all the advice that you and Tim give about dating / complimenting men, etc. Thank you. I agree that straight men are very isolated, and I know I'm playing a role in that. I genuinely do not have any straight male friends. When me and my friends go out, I'll try to be nice to men in the same way I'm nice to women. Almost every time, they take it as me hitting on them. I really don't think I'm being accidentally flirty because I'm not even attracted to men. And then the same thing happens at my club tennis practices and my on-campus job. I'll be really friendly to a guy, and I could tell he's taking it as a sign that I like him. I've been told that I'm conventionally attractive, and I'm definitely straight passing, so that probably has an impact on this. My question is, how do I go about making friends with straight men when it feels like they always take it the wrong way?
Ooh, that's tough. Could you go first? I want to hear your answer to this one first. That's a tough question.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this is tough, and this is like a completely reasonable question to ask, and your experience, I'm sure, is shared by very, very many women, and I'm sure there are many women who have thrown in the towel and said, okay, you know what? I'm not even going to fucking bother. Like, every dude I'm being nice to thinks I'm being flirty. And I'm a very insecure person. So if there's somebody that I want to be flirty with who's being nice to me, my brain immediately starts making the excuses that they're not interested in me, and that I ought to cool down. And I've misread signals in both directions. Yeah, but sure. I would say that it's okay to very quickly set boundaries. And I think that I don't know how exactly I would signal that you're not interested that way, because you can't like no homo your way out of talking to a dude you want to be friends with. But I think that like you can go hard on the friend zone stuff. And if you talk to a dude in kind of a bro-y way, there might be a chance he's able to read it a little bit more clearly. You could be nice to a dude like the way that another dude would be nice to a dude, even just in the beginning. And I think that there's certain things that could be taken as signals that you're not flirting. And if you sort of share, like if you share certain perspectives on things and talk about certain topics that are generally considered extremely unsexy and unflirty and things like that, there's a chance you're able to send that signal. But I do encourage you to experiment with that and see what works for you. And just keep being nice and trying, because you will make straight male friends who aren't taking it that way and who can be normal. And I encourage you not to let your experiences so far make you throw in the towel, because you'll meet some nice guys. What do you think?
I guess I have two thoughts. My first thought's kind of a question for you, and then I'll give my answer to the questioner. But like, it is obviously very common for like gay men to have women friends, fruit fly or whatever you want to call them. That is, you know, and that their relationship is based on, you know, kind of gossiping and like mutual relationship advice and stuff. And, now, you know, that in Gen Z, there are a lot more kind of different flavors of queer, and like a lot more people are open about their sexuality and stuff. I do wonder if there is not an opening. I think it's cool that this young woman wants to be like, hey, I want to have guy friends and like hang out with them. And I think that a lot of these guys, particularly more shy type straight guys could probably benefit from having like a hot lesbian friend to like help give them advice and like.
Well, this person actually identifies. This lady actually identifies as asexual.
Asexual. I deliberately
left that out because I didn't want it to be about that. So it's me who left that out.
I want to make sure I didn't miss that. Okay. A hot ace friend, you know, that I can sort of, you know, be there for them in that way. But you don't see it as much. And maybe there's just something about like, I don't know. Is there a men are from Mars, women for Venus element of this that it's just like hard for that to work the other direction? What do you think? Like, why is it so common one way and not the other?
I think that this speaks to something we talked about recently on the show. I think it was during a guest segment where nice guys have been conditioned by the Me Too era to not approach women because women were talking about how many creepy dudes approach them and guys who. Yeah. Are considerate of how women feel said, okay, great. I'm not going to put the women in that position. But the dudes who are inconsiderate said, I don't give a shit. I'm approaching them anyway. And therefore women were dealing with like a disproportionate amount of weird dudes because it's the dudes who don't care about how they're feeling. But I mean, it's the first piece of advice I give to any dude who asks me how to be charming and compelling to women. Not that I am, by the way, but any dude who asks me like, how do I get chicks to like me and everything? I'm like, go be friends with a bunch of them first. Like if you can't befriend a woman, if you can't have women in your life who are just your friends who mean something to you, I don't think you're ready to date one because we're so conditioned in this society to look at men and women as these very, very different things. And of course we are different. I'm not like in that like radical part of woke where I'm like, actually, we're the same exact thing. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Two things can be true. We could be capable of being the same, but not inherently the same.
Yeah.
And I just think like, you know, you do have to make those efforts to befriend. Like it doesn't even need to be a lesbian woman that you're friends with. I know that's not where you were suggesting, but it's you should have female friends. And I think it's like a huge green flag to women you're talking to, by the way, when they see that you like just hang out with women sometimes and can be cool with them. And I think that that's something that's important.
Yeah. All right. Here's my answer to the questioner, my practical advice to the questioner. I think that just early in the kind of hang period, just finding an excuse to toss out there that you find penises disgusting is probably the most practical answer here. Just throw it out there. Maybe even apropos of nothing sometimes. Just throw it out there early in the friendship, courtship phase and see if that might, you know, kind of tamp down any concerns.
And you know what? That's a great piece of advice because if a dude doesn't want to be friends with you because you find penises disgusting, you don't want to be friends with him. You're dodging a bullet. I remember there was a girl that I was like, I actually had an experience just like this. There was a girl I was having a really engaging conversation with, similar politics, was really hype about that. And she was so cool and so fun, but she had a haircut that made me go, okay, this is a gay woman's haircut. If you had just read the log of our conversation with each other and you did not see a picture of her, you'd be like, oh, this is so clearly flirting. But she had a gay girl haircut. And I ended up doing a little bit of gay investigating and talking to a couple of mutuals of ours. And I went, oh, she's gay. That removes so much pressure from me because now I just get to chat and not like wonder what's going on behind it. And we have since been very good friends. Everybody, thank you for joining us for another FY Pod. Like and subscribe down below, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Bye. Bye.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.